Let's pray. Father, again, we are blessed to be here today. I'm thankful to partner with these other disciples in being your witnesses not just here, but in faraway places as well. And so as your Holy Spirit continues to be unleashed in our lives, Lord, may we live out the purpose of the church, being a place that makes disciples who make disciples by your power. And so be with us now as we spend some time in your word. Lord, speak to us where you want us to be spoken to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start with a little history lesson. Do we have any American history buffs out there? Anybody like early U.S. history? Anybody? Okay, three of us do, so this will go over really well. So I don't know what's going on with the screen. There's always something. Here we go. So Paul Revere, anybody heard of him? This is the famous poem of Henry Wadsworth Longworth saying, "Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere on the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is now alive who remembers that famous day and year." Safe to say none of us were there. But we have all heard of this famous midnight ride by Paul Revere where he went out to the colonial folks and he said, "The British are what? Are coming." And he galvanized this ragtag group of soldiers to take on the most powerful empire in the world. They had no business fighting against the British. But as this message went out, it galvanized them together. And the message went out from one person. And it got shared to the next person. And to the next person. To the next person. And you could say the message multiplied. And it literally changed the direction of the United States of America. In a very real way, we are here today because a guy jumped on a horse at midnight and went running around telling people that the British were coming. Well, as disciples of Jesus, we still have an important message to get out. Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." Telling people about me everywhere. Today we are kicking off this new message series, Multiply, and some of you got t-shirts. If you want a free t-shirt, who doesn't like t-shirts? Stop by the church office. There's a bunch of them in there. You can grab one. But this is more than just a series. I believe this is our next step as a congregation. And it has the power to pivot our direction for the next 50 years as we continue to build on the foundation that has gone before us. And that foundation is strong. It is built on the grace and the truth of Jesus Christ being unleashed by His Holy Spirit in ways that impact us individually, in ways that impact us as fellow followers of Christ, in ways that impact our community, and yes, in ways that impact the entire world. And God has been good to us. God has been good to us, and He unleashes His power in amazing ways. As Lutherans, we talk about how His power is unleashed in Holy Communion and in Holy Baptism when He gives us the free gift of forgiveness and life and salvation. We say that His power is unleashed as the Word is spoken. Paul says that when the Word is spoken, faith is created, and that faith then receives God's good gifts of grace and forgiveness and love and salvation. And we know that his power is released in other ways. His power is unleashed as we gather together in worship. There's a reason why Scripture talks about worship being a rhythm and a weekly rhythm, because we come and we bring God nothing and He fills us each and every time we gather together with other disciples to worship. And so I want to challenge you over these next 5 weeks to be in worship every weekend. I know you're busy. And unless you're running a marathon, there's no excuse. You can jump online and live stream, or you can listen on the podcast, because we believe these next 5 weeks have the power to transform us individually and to help pivot our church so that we can better fulfill our vision to multiply disciples and see lives that are transformed. Another way that God unleashes his power is when we walk together with other disciples of Jesus. Over the past 4 years, we've seen our small group ministry multiply from 200 adults to over 500. And I know what some of you are saying. We tried it, and the people in the group were really weird. Let me let you in on a secret. You're weird also. This church is made up of weird people. From the very first two people who founded this church, sitting right back over there. Right, we all have our stuff, don't we? Does anybody have it together? Nobody's going to raise their hand on that one. And so when we walk together in a small group, it's an opportunity to grow and to learn and to love and to be real with other disciples of Jesus as we walk along this discipleship path. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you to think about doing that. Especially if you've been around here a while and you just don't quite feel connected. This is a way to feel connected with other disciples of Jesus. And so what is multiply? Hopefully you picked up on the video that at the heart of it is prayer and the power of God being unleashed in our lives. And you heard me talking about 50 years of ministry and the question of what's next. And so for about the last year or so, our staff and leadership, we've been praying and talking about, God, what do you want us to do over the next couple of years? You've probably noticed that the world changes really fast. Have any of you caught on to that? And so long-term planning, like a 20-year plan, that's kind of out the window. But what can we do? What's God calling us to do over the next 2 years? And so we had lots of whiteboards and writing stuff down, and we were praying about it. And we landed on these four different buckets that I talked about. And when we put all those buckets together, we said, we believe this is what God wants us to do as a church for the next 2 years. And then we said, how much is it going to cost? And there's where that number 8.4 popped up that you all kind of gasped at. Let me be really clear here. That 8.4 is not above and beyond what normally we would have expected to bring in. That 8.4 covers everything that we believe God wants us to do over the next 2 years. And so as we talk about things like multi-site investment and transformational ministry and increasing what we do missionally, do you know that we've given 10% from the beginning here to missions? Why do we stop there? Let's see if we can grow that. Because God is moving here in this place. But the only way it's going to happen, right, is if we all jump on board. And so my prayer for like 6 months now has been really simple. Lord, I pray that 100% of the folks who come to Woodbury Lutheran will participate in this. And it's not about the number. You all know my heart. It's not about the number. It's about each and every one of us wrestling with this question of, God, what do you want me to do next when it comes to me being a generous person and walking the generosity journey? Steph and I have been talking about this, and for the first time, we're finally going to get there, where the biggest check that we get to write every month is going to be to our church. And I don't say that to brag about it. I say that because whenever we talk about money around here, guess what? I don't get nervous. You know why? Because Jesus talked a lot about money. And when Jesus talked about money, it was always about wanting something for us, not taking something from us. Do you understand what I'm saying? The more that we learn to hold loosely to the things of this world and tightly to Jesus, the more transformation that takes place in our own lives. I don't get it. I don't know how it works, but God's math is different than man's math. And it always is. And so I want to challenge you to be praying about this. It might be a first step for some of you. It might be a significant step for others of you. But pray that the Lord will lead you to where He wants you to go. On your way in, I think you got these books, because I see some of you reading it because you're already bored during the message. But in that book, you got a response card, and the way out, I want you to grab a whole bunch of those prayer cards, and I'm going to talk more about that at the end of this. But the response card, the reason why we're giving it to you today is because on October 29th, we're going to be gathering to celebrate our 50th anniversary as a church, the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. We have a special service that day at 1 o'clock. We hope you all will come on out. But during the morning, we're going to be bringing our responses back, saying thank you to God for all that you have done for us, and looking forward to what he's going to do over the next couple of years. So why now? Why now? Didn't we just start a new campus? You heard what was going on at Oak Hill, the fantastic growth that has happened there. Shouldn't we just pat ourselves on the back and say, well done, you've turned 50. Anybody turning 50 this year, by the way? Nobody wants to admit it. Can't we just, of course we're going to celebrate. But why now? Because here's why. We are disciples of Jesus. And as disciples of Jesus, we have been given a mission. And that mission doesn't end until Jesus comes back. Why now? Have you noticed what's happening to Christianity in our culture? Have you checked that out? It's even worse in our own denomination. Let me tell you this. We have 6,000 churches in our own denomination. Last year, more than 3,000 of them didn't baptize one person. In Minneapolis and St. Paul, in our circuits there, we have about 40 LCMS churches. And over the last 10 years, only one of them has grown. We stand at a unique place in Christianity, and we stand at a unique place within our own denomination. God has blessed us beyond what we could ever dream or imagine, and to whom much is given, much is expected. We've been blessed. You see, something happens when disciples of Jesus gather together. What happens is this thing that we've called the church. And unfortunately, most often we translate the church using the German word Kirche, which means a building. And so we say things like, I'm going to church. But the original word in the Greek is ecclesia, and it means a gathering from which a movement grows out. And that's what the church is about. We talk about a disciple around here being someone who's becoming more like Jesus. And whether it's your first day following Jesus or you've been doing it for 50 years, is there room to grow? Always. To become more like Jesus, because that's what he wants for us, is transformation. He doesn't want us just to settle for religion or coming to church on Sunday and then waiting until next week to do it all again. Or to simply be a Christian. Have you noticed that you can define Christian however the heck you want to in our world today? But you can't do that with disciples. Because being a disciple means that you bow, you get on your knee. There's been a lot of talk about that in our culture over the last couple of weeks, about football and anthems and all of that. But to be a disciple means that you kneel before Jesus and you say, you know what? I will follow you and your teachings, even if they're uncomfortable to me, even if the world around me says you're crazy for doing so, because that's what a disciple does. And as we walk this path of discipleship, transformation happens. Now, you engineers out there aren't going to like this, but it's not a linear transformation, is it? It goes up and down. But that's what those original followers of Jesus experienced. Their lives were transformed. It wasn't just about getting together one day a week to sing some songs and to hear a message and then go about their business. It wasn't about being a part of a new religion. It was about following Jesus, the one that they witnessed die and rise from the dead, who had changed their lives. And the beautiful thing about it, friends, is that's what Jesus wants for you and me. That's what he offers us today. Something so much more than just religion or church. But he offers us real transformation. And you know how I know? Because that's what he told us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died and he rose from the dead. And then he appeared to his followers, and not just a few of them, but scripture says more than 500 of them. And he appeared to them over a period of 40 days. And at the end of that 40 days, he said, I'm going to leave you with a mission. And they were confused and scared and sad and all those things that you would expect. And so Jesus looks at them and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to who? To me. Think about that for a minute. Who talks like that? All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Who says something like that? Either A person who's completely insane, or B, God himself. So Jesus says to his disciples, here's the deal. I'm more than just a good guy, even though I'm a good guy. And I'm more than just a moral teacher, even though I teach about being moral. And I'm more than just a prophet, even though I am like a prophet. I am greater than that. I am God himself, because all authority has been given to me. And then he does something totally bizarre. He says, here's what I'm going to do with this authority. Therefore, you guys go and start a movement. And they look at each other, and Peter's looking at Thomas going, that guy didn't even believe he rose from the dead. And Thomas is looking over at Peter and going, Peter, he can't even keep his mouth shut. And they're all looking at those fishermen going, they're not very smart, they're just fishermen. How in the world is this going to work? So Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I love this part of the NLT translation. And teaching these new disciples to obey everything I have commanded you. And you can be sure of this. I will be with you. I'll be with you to the very end of the age. Did you catch the simple purpose of the church? Did you catch it? What is it? Don't be shy. To make disciples. I'm sorry, it's not to make you comfortable. It's not to fulfill all your preferences. It's not to be a club where people who have it all together gather with one another once a week. Because if it were, guess what? None of us would be invited. Unless I'm the only one that doesn't have it all together. But it's a movement of disciples who are about making disciples. And here's the best part about it. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's not about being the smartest person in the room, which I am definitely not. It's not about being the most spiritual person or the best Christian. It's about the message, the good news, which is so simple that Jesus died and he rose from the dead. And when that message goes out to some people, it's a stumbling block. To others, it's foolishness. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. So you know what that means? It means we're just the messengers. There's this guy named Paul. Maybe you've heard of him. He wrote most of the New Testament. Anybody heard of him? Good. Again, three of us have heard of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul gives me hope. You know why? Because he was a really boring speaker. You know how I know that? There was this time in the book of Acts where he was speaking, he was giving a message, and a guy fell asleep and fell out of a window. Have you heard about that story? And they actually had to heal him. And the reason why that gives me hope is no one's ever fallen out of the balcony while I've been preaching. Some of you have fallen asleep. Trust me, I see everything up here. But it gives me hope because it means that the power of the message is not about me. It's not about you. The power is in the message itself. And we're just called to share it. And that's what Jesus tells his disciples in this same scene in Acts chapter 1. They're still confused. They basically saying, Jesus, is now the time when you're going to make Israel great again? We've been waiting for that moment. And Jesus, it's not for you to know that. And I think this is in the small print, but somewhere he went like this. And he says to him, here's the deal. Here's what you're going to do. But you will receive power when my Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. We just finished a little 3-week message series where we were trying to get at the heart of the gospel, and it was called Alive. And we spent 3 weeks in Ephesians chapter 2, and the very first verse of chapter 2 says, we were once dead in our sins and our transgressions, and that the wrath of God was still upon us, and we were powerless to do anything about it. And then in verse 4, we saw these two great words, but God. But God, in his mercy, loved us when we were dead in our sins and made us alive in Christ. And then he says to his disciples, but you. Yeah, I know you don't have it all together. I know you're scared about what it will mean to share your faith. I know you don't have all the answers. But you will receive power. And you will be my witnesses. And then they stared up into the clouds like a couple of knuckleheads. And these two angels appeared and said, what are you doing? He's going to come back just like he left. And until he does, you've got work to do. You've got work to do. Paul Revere jumped on his horse, and as he went out that night declaring, the British are coming, the British are coming. The message had already come forward that if there's one lantern, it meant the British were coming by land, and if there were two lanterns, it meant they were coming by sea. One if by land, two if by sea. There, I gave you a little history lesson today. And there he is on that horse declaring the British are coming. And what does it do? It brands together this group of ragtag colonial warriors to fight against the mighty British. And they won. How much more powerful is the good news that Jesus died and rose from the dead? And today, Jesus says to each one of us, I want you to know the power of that message in your life and in your relationships and in our communities and in my world. But you. And along the way, I'm going to remind you that you are loved. And I'm going to remind you that because of my grace, salvation has been given to you. And I'm going to remind you that I will be with you every step of the way. And I'm going to remind you that the purpose of the church is to make disciples. I don't talk about my dad much except for when I make fun of him, I guess. And one of the things that I learned from him was, don't major in the minor things. We haven't done that at Woodbury Lutheran Church for 50 years. And we're not going to start now. Because the church has been called to make disciples. That's what Multiply is about. Sure, there'll be some new carpet. We'll do some stuff missionally. And hopefully we'll grow and more people will know Jesus because of it. But that's not what it's about. It's about Jesus. And it's about the church being the church. One of the things that is unique about this church is our commitment to prayer. And I've learned about that gift from you. I know I'm the pastor and I stand up front and talk all the time, but I've learned about prayer from you. And there was a newsletter article that just went out the other day, and I know you all read the newsletter. And it talked about the first meeting of disciples gathering in what's still my parents' home, talking about what this church was going to be like. And the men stayed upstairs and talked about stuff, and the ladies went downstairs and talked about stuff, but both groups prayed. And so today, on your way out, I want you to grab like 10 or 20 or 30 of these prayer cards. In the book of Deuteronomy, it talks about binding prayers on our foreheads. How cool would it be if you walked in here next week and you were like this and you didn't even know that they were there? I think that'd be kind of fun. Binding them on your door frames. Take these, put them on your bathroom mirrors, put them in your Bible, take them to your cubicle, bring them to school with you. And let's all be praying, Jesus, unleash your power in me, in my relationships, in our communities, and in your world. And then let's sit back and see how he answers that prayer. Amen? Let's pray. God, you're so good. You've saved us despite of who we are and what we've done. And now you've given us a mission. As we prepare for you to come back again, and that could be today or tomorrow, we don't know. Give us an urgency to the mission of being witnesses to what you have done, that lives would be transformed, not by us, but by your power. And as always, for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.